Hello and welcome back to Visiting Dugout, a Fans First Sports Network production. I am Crystal O'Keefe, podcaster, managing editor, writer, everything else you can think of for Southside Sox. And today I have Ben on to discuss the Twins. Welcome back. Please feel free to reintroduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm Ben Jones. I'm the managing editor at Twinkie Town, SB Nation's Twins site. We do a lot of good stuff over there, I think anyway, but I'm a little bit biased. And then we also have our own podcast called Twins Talk. So if you want to hear more about the Twins, be sure to check that out as well. I do that with my co-host, John Kuh, who's a fantasy baseball expert and has single-handedly made me a lot better at fantasy baseball this year. So I appreciate it.
That's always a plus.
Yeah, it's been great.
I know baseball bat the back of my hand. I cannot sit down and do fantasy baseball to save my life.
I'm a little more recent to it. I'm kind of with you. I was like, oh, I just kind of follow the game. You know, I don't really want to get into all the fantasy stuff, but somebody convinced me and it's actually been a lot of fun. It's helped me, you know, kind of attach to a few more players as I've been doing it, which has been fun because normally it's just twins, right? Or, you know, other stuff around the division, but it's been kind of fun to, you know, I've got a lot invested into Riley Green. So even though I need him to play poorly against the Twins, I want him to do really well against everybody else.
I understand that. As someone at this point who is just kind of rooting for players and not her own team, I understand that sentiment.
Yeah, the White Sox will do that to you. The 2010s Twins, I was right there with you. And so, yeah, definitely just was following a lot more players than a team specifically while all that was going on.
For real. So speaking of the Twins, what is new in Minnesota?
Not much, which is part of the issue. The Twins this year are off to a pretty terrible start. Pretty much worst case scenario, I would say. They have the second fewest wins in the entire American League behind only the White Sox. So not where you want to be for a team that was supposed to be competing for the playoffs and, you know, being the heavy favorites in the division. That's partly because they've played fewer games than anybody else. But, there's not really any rose-colored glasses, I think, to put on this at this point. They've been hurt, and the players that have been healthy have been bad. So it's been pretty much a worst-case scenario to start.
Yeah, it's never a good spot to be the second to last to a team like the White Sox, because the White Sox are just painfully bad at this point.
Yeah.
So you would say, like, injury and everything else? Like, who's injured right now?
So the main one is Royce Lewis, who was supposed to be middle of the lineup, right? He, opening day, hit a home run in his first at-bat because he's Royce Lewis, and that's what he does. He always comes up in the big moments. Second at-bat, he got a single. And then Carlos Correa followed that with a hit of his own. And then as Royce was rounding second, pulled up, was hurt, was removed for the game. We haven't seen him since. We did just get an update this morning saying he's restarting baseball activities. It's a quad strain, but he has a long history of knee issues. And, you know, the quad and the knee are so closely related as far as health goes that they are going to be very, very cautious bringing him back, making sure he's completely 100% because he's torn that ACL twice already. So that was the initial concern was, oh, it's the ACL again somehow. There's a third injury to that knee. Luckily, it was the quad. But the Twins really need him back, but they also can't afford to rush him.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So your off season, did they do much? Like, how would you grade any moves they made in the off season to better the team?
Here's what I'll say is I think you have to separate ownership from the front office at this point. I think the front office did a very good job with the constraints that they were given. The constraints that they were given was that ownership cut payroll by $30 million coming off of their division win, their first playoff game and series win in two decades. They're like, we've had enough of that. We're good. We're going to cut money. And so I'll say with the constraints that they had, they did pretty well. They kind of reshuffled more than added, right? The big loss was Sonny Gray, to which I would say he's off to a good start with the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to bring Sonny Gray back anyway at a cost that it would cost to bring him back. He finished second in AL Cy Young voting, but anybody who watched the team last year knows that Pablo Lopez was the guy who was fronting the staff, who, you know, they picked him for game one of the playoffs for that reason, because he's been the guy since he came over here. So that was something I was okay with, because I think you could replace Sonny Gray's production between guys like Joe Ryan and Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock coming back from Tommy John's. So that wasn't something I was overly concerned with. However, I do think that $30 million could have been spent in other places, such as helping this offense that has been completely anemic to start the season. And so The main loss was Sonny Gray. They reshuffled a little bit. They brought in Manny Margot from the Dodgers / Rays. I don't really think he ever officially played for the Dodgers, but it was officially over from the Dodgers. And then on the offensive side, Chris Paddock came back from injury. Louis Varland, they were expecting to get a little bit more out, and then they made a bunch of additions in the bullpen as well. Jay Jackson was a free agent acquisition. Justin Topa came over with Anthony DeSclafani when they sent out Jorge Polanco. I guess that's another guy I should mention that they lost, was Jorge Polanco, but that was more because they had Royce Lewis and Edward Julian, who kind of left Jorge Polanco without a spot to play. But, you know, he was the longest tenured twin at the time he left. So now that the offense is doing very poorly, it doesn't look great. But in the moment, I think it was probably the right move. And then DeSclafani, of course, is out for the year as well with Tommy John surgery. So just another one of those things where guys are hurt. And so the guys that they've sent out, they haven't really gotten production back from.
Yeah, I know Polanco was a big tear at the heartstrings based on what I've seen from all of my Twins mutuals. It's like a lot of people are missing him right about now.
Everybody loves Jorge. Nobody has anything bad to say about Polo. He's the best. And like I said, he'd been with the Twins since he was 16 years old. He'd been in the organization, I think, for over a decade. And so, it was hard to leave him. But again, the Twins have so much middle infield depth between Royce Lewis, Edward Julian, Carlos Correa, their top prospect, Brooks Lee, also plays second, third, short, right? And so there just wasn't really a spot for Polanco at that point.
Yeah, that makes sense. So say these guys do get healthy and your bats start to wake up. Are you feeling confident about this season at all? Because you did mention it was supposed to be a year of contention, but it doesn't look like that right now.
Yeah, I still am. And I think the main reason is because of the pitching. The pitching is incredible still. And they haven't even pitched that well, but they have the best strikeout rate among all pitching staffs for the bullpen specifically. And that bullpen is missing Joan Duran. Caleb Thielbar just came back. Justin Topa has been missing. So they have three high leverage guys that are still working their way back. And one in Duran, who is maybe one of the best closers in baseball. Mm-hmm. So the bullpen only stands to get better. The pitching staff, Pablo Lopez has not looked perfect, but it's April. He doesn't pitch well in cold weather. I'm not super concerned about that. Joe Ryan, on the other hand, has come back and along with being a heartthrob like he always is also striking out more guys than ever, walking fewer guys than ever, and worked a lot of driveline over the offseason to refine his pitch grips and everything. So his secondaries are looking really, really good on top of his fastball that was arguably the best fastball in the game before all of the other secondaries started playing up. And so I'm pretty confident in the pitching figuring it out. Bailey Ober never has a bad start, literally ever, except for his first start this year. Was pretty much a disaster. But other than that, he's good every single time he's on the mound. Chris Paddock is still working his way back. And so he's been a little rough to start. The big one I am concerned with is Louis Varland. And this is where losing a guy like Sonny Gray hurts, because Louis Varland and Anthony DeSclafani, but Louis Varland was supposed to be their sixth starter. When DeSclafani got hurt, he got moved up to the fifth spot, and he just doesn't look like he knows what he's doing when he's on the mound, giving up home runs, walking guys, gets guys to two strikes, and then he's just throwing them fastballs down the middle for some reason. So, they have four really strong starters. I'm confident about a fifth one. I'm less so, but I think that's good enough where if the offense can just get up to league average production, they can be really good. And if they get above league average, like they were the second half of last year, they're going to run away with the division still, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this division is up for grabs no matter what. I mean, at any time in the year, it can shift. A team can get hot and suddenly the Twins are leading the division, and the Tigers, which have looked great so far, hanging out at the bottom with the White Sox. That's kind of the beauty and also the pain of this division.
Yeah, definitely. I do previews before every series on the website, similar to this, essentially just previewing, hey, here's what you might have missed with this team since the last time we faced them. You know, we've played the Royals and the Tigers a few times, and you know, in all of those previews for the other AL Central teams, I say, hey, you know, this team, they didn't spend much, they didn't add much, but they think they can compete in the AL Central. Well, at the end of the day, only one team is going to win the AL Central, right? And so it's not the best division ever. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, man, it's incredible, even though the Guardians and the Royals are off to good starts. I think those are mostly facades. But again, only one of these teams, it's actually going to work out with, you know, them half-assing it into trying to compete for the division, which it seems like everybody pretty much did this offseason.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, we will take a very quick break to pay bills, and then we will get back to this series. All right, welcome back. So we're going to get into the series now with the Twins. There's, at the time of the recording, no one is listed as probable pitchers. I'm not even sure what the rotation looks like right now for the White Sox. Do you have any indication of who might be pitching this series?
All right. Yeah. So four game series, that means you're going to see four of the five guys from the Twins. And luckily for me anyway, the one you won't see is Louis Varland because he's set to go Sunday. But yeah, so it'll be Chris Paddock game one, then Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober. Chris Paddock, again, he's still working back from Tommy John's and he has gotten hit hard. His stuff hasn't looked great, but it's one of those things where I think you just kind of have to let him pitch through it. I remember last year, Kenta Maeda coming back from Tommy John's is very similar. His April was very, very, very poor to the point where a lot of people are saying, we got to move him to the bullpen. Maybe we just keep him on the IL for a while. And then middle of June, he did go on the injured list. And when he came back from then on, he looked like one of the best pitchers on the Twin staff. And so I think it's one of those things where he's just working back. He's trying to figure everything out. And then Lopez, Ryan, Ober, they're all really good. I think Lopez and Ryan are going to have good shots to be all-stars. Ober, I think he's maybe the less talked about guy in the Twins rotation, but I can't overstate how consistently fine he is, where he's never going to go out there and give you eight shutout innings or anything like that. But almost every time he takes the mound, it's five or six, two or three runs, which is all you can ask right now. If the offense could score to help him out, that would make him look a lot better. But yeah, you'll see everyone except Varland, so you won't get to feast on his meatball fastballs, unfortunately.
That's a bummer because we desperately need something like that right now.
So do we. So yeah, maybe we should see if we can get some batting practice against Varland or something.
Man. So with this team, what player could be kind of the biggest threat right now to the White Sox?
Yeah. One guy I haven't mentioned yet is Ryan Jeffers, who is probably their best hitter in the lineup right now. He has an 819 OPS, which isn't much, but he's a catcher. And so, you know, you'll 100% take that from a catcher. But with how poor the rest of the Twins offense has been performing, he's been easily their best hitter to the point where he's usually hitting second or third in the lineup every single day. And so he's a guy to look out for. Alex Kirilloff, he's a former top prospect who has been hurt consistently for the past few years. He finally looks like he's healthy this year and is hitting really well to start the season, which has been great to see. He had triples in three straight games earlier this year, which he's a big guy. He's not that fast, just happened to hit them in the right spot, which was very weird. And then Byron Buxton, who everybody knows Byron at this point. He's healthy for the first time in 2.5 years. According to him, this is the first time he's been pain-free in a very, very long time. He hasn't quite figured it out yet. Offensively, he doesn't, he's a little late on pitches he normally hits out of the park, but it does feel like he's right on the verge of figuring something out. So with the White Sox luck, that'll probably come against them, if I were to guess.
Yeah, for sure. And it sucks. I love Byron Buxton. I don't care who knows it. He's one of those players that I do. I just constantly root for. And I've hated how he's been just so injury prone because he is so much fun to actually watch when he is healthy.
Yeah, he's so much fun. He's a great guy. Everybody loves Byron, right? And so, yeah, he's made a bunch of highlight catches out in center field already, which has been great to see after he didn't play in the field at all last season. So that's been awesome. It's just, you know, the bat feels like it's almost there. You just got to get the timing figured out just a little bit more, and he's going to be right back where he was.
That's good for the Twins, not for the White Sox, but, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just happy for him.
Definitely.
So would you, especially if Byron is heating up, what are the keys for the Twins to actually just take this series?
They got to hit, right? That's the big thing at the end of the day is I can sit here and be like, oh, if this player does this and if this player does this, it's just been a disaster offensively. It can't be overstated. The good news is for that series also, it sounds like Max Kepler is going to be back off the injured list. Carlos Correa, I think, is eligible to come off the injured list Tuesday next week, and it sounds like he'll be ready to go then. So I think both of those are good signs. I mean, but again, just nobody is hitting well, right? If you go to Baseball Reference and you're looking at their top players by wins above replacement, number one, number two, you have relievers. The second one was optioned to AAA last week, and yet he's still second. Then you have Ryan Jeffers, Pablo Lopez, and then fifth, you have Simeon Woods Richardson, who made one spot start. So again, it's one hitter among those top five. I think there's three among the top 10. It's just been a complete disaster offensively. If they hit, they'll be fine. If they don't, the games will probably be close and they'll probably split the series.
Yeah. Do you have any actual fears heading into this series?
No, yeah. Is my answer. No, because I don't think the White Sox are very good. I think they're gonna make a run at winning 50 games. So without Luis Robert, without Eloy Jimenez, there's nothing on that offense I'm really scared about. The pitching staff, Garrett Crochet, I mean, he looks like the real deal. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him. But other than that, it seems like a bunch of pitch to contact guys that are just there to eat innings until the White Sox are maybe good in 3 or 4 years. So, no is the short answer.
No, that's what I expect everyone to say in this. Like, even when I go to the A's and the Rockies later on this year, that's still the expectation. It's been so miserable in like the White Sox camp right now that I had to write an article trying to think of positives so that we're not all like on the edge of the bridge, just waiting.
I definitely get like from it, like I said, those 2010s Twins teams, right? Really until they had the random breakout season in 2017, then they were bad again in 2018, good again in 2019, right? And they've been consistently 500 or better since 2019. But those 2010s teams, we were right there with you. It's so funny, like the players you latch onto during those bad teams, right? Where I find it fun in a different way, where there's not the pressure every day. Where right now I'm watching the Twins and I just feel miserable every single day because they're playing so poorly and they're supposed to be good. And if they start winning again, that'll turn around. That'll be great. But when you're not expecting them to win, it's like, oh, happy surprises, right? And so you catch on to these random guys that play 50 games. You never hear from them again in the big leagues, right? Frankly, one of those guys for the Twins was Michael Tonkin, who has somehow resurfaced and was back with the Twins for one game and then got DFA'd last week again. So there's just random things like that, right? Where it can be fun in a different way. On the website, I always had a little bit more fun with it as well, because you're just mostly making jokes. Everybody kind of knows what you're there for, right? Nobody's expecting anything. And so it's just, don't take it so seriously versus right now. You know, if you go to the Twinkie Town, you read the comments, everybody's like, oh, doom and gloom, this is terrible. What's even the point anymore? And then, you know, we have to divert into talking about the Timberwolves being in the playoffs or something because baseball is going so poorly.
Yeah. Most of my recaps these days are just very more sarcastic than anything.
Yeah.
Or short. And then actually yesterday, one of our writers, Allie, she had coverage and she just turned it into a Taylor Swift themed tortured band department and made a bunch of references because, you know, this new album is about heartbreak and she's going on and she's just finding ways to insert song titles or lyrics from it. And it was just perfect. It was hilarious the way she did it. So we're finding ways to be very creative.
Gotta cope somehow, right? And so Taylor Swift works great. One year I wrote was a poem, basically, same thing, just talking about all the weird, stupid, dumb things that had happened to the Twins that year, right? And so just finding fun ways to enjoy it still, I think is good. And now, of course, it's a lot easier in retrospect, right? It's hard to look at this team and be like, other than Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet, just where do you even find positives right now? Because, I mean, Kevin Pillar was batting cleanup for a few games. I'm like, what are you even supposed to do with that? Like, it's to the point where it's like, you're not even trying to give the fans something to root for. It's pretty bleak.
They also had Andrew Benintendi leading off for a while.
Yeah, biggest contract in White Sox history, right?
Yeah. He's done absolutely nothing for us. And then Andrew Vaughn has just been terrible this year.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, I mean, if we're going to pivot into talking about the White Sox a little bit, I think that's maybe a little bit where they went wrong, right? Is they kind of placed bets on the wrong guys when they were supposed to be entering into this contention window, and guys like Vaughn and Moncada, who you thought were going to be fixtures in the middle of the lineup, just weren't, whether for health or for performance reasons. And Luis Robert's great, but he's always hurt. Same with Jimenez. And so, yeah, it's just a tough position to put fans in, especially at this point where it's like, oh, we're sending out Cease and now Robert's hurt, and yeah, just hard to have almost anything to root for. And other than you get Crochet every 5 days, and then if he blows out his elbow, who knows from there? Knock on wood, I don't want that to happen. He's very fun to watch.
Please, yes, thank you. Our best hitters right now are Gavin Sheets and Dominic Fletcher.
That's certainly something. Dominic Fletcher, who I thought for sure was David Fletcher until you said that right now. so that's news to me.
Yeah, those are the two most consistent hitters on this team. And if you had told me a year ago that you would be just excited to see Gavin Sheets with a bat in his hand, I would have been like, absolutely not. You are on drugs.
Yeah.
But here
it's definitely a rough spot to be in, at least for the Twins, right? Is like they're hitting poorly, but we know that these guys are capable of more. We saw them do it last year and the years before. And Carlos Correa has been an all-star multiple times. Buxton's been an all-star multiple times. Royce Lewis is coming back soon. Max Kepler's coming back soon, right? So there's the upside that we at least have to look forward to, unless it never works out. But I doubt the Twins can continue to hit like one of the worst teams in baseball history for the entire season.
Yeah. Well, we can move away from these two teams. It's going to get really depressing in here if we don't. How are you feeling overall about the season? Like hot takes, crazy ideas, anything really?
I feel good. I feel like it's been a really fun season. Here's the thing, is I have some Dodgers opinions, and my Dodgers opinions are people are very upset where it's like, oh, the Dodgers are buying the championship, whatever, whatever. First of all, they're only 12 and 10. They're not even that good this year. Second, your owner could also just pay for good players. It's just they decide not to. And so that's always the pushback is like, it's like, oh, don't push back on the Dodgers. Push back on your team's owner. The other thing is, frankly, I'm very excited to see Shohei Ohtani on a good team because seeing him waste away on the Angels for all those years where they have Trout and Ohtani and somehow they can't hit was very disappointing. And so I know it's like, you know, it's the cool thing to hate on the Dodgers and be like, oh, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, how do they get away with this? I'm like, well, I don't know. I think it's kind of fun just from an objective fan's perspective to have kind of that big bad. And I know Mookie was on some podcast before the season talking about how every game is that team's World Series. And I think that kind of makes it fun, right? You have the villain that some people are rooting against, but at the same time, man, those guys are so good. Mookie and Ohtani and Freeman, it's just incredible. The Twins played them earlier this season, and every single time those three are up to bat, they're making hard contact, even if they're hitting into outs. And just they're an incredible team who's only going to get better as the year goes on and their pitching gets more healthy. So I really like watching the Dodgers. I have a lot of fun watching their games.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see how they go, because I've had the opinion that they've got a ton of big egos, big superstars on that team right now. So it's one of those things like, are they going to be able to gel?
Yeah.
And be able to have everyone shine instead of like, oh, you've got this superstar. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm really curious to see, you know, come like June, if they're still working out, if they have been able to just mesh that team. And they'll be interesting to watch for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm a little less concerned about that just because the superstars that they have are all guys who – everybody loves, who are very like deferential almost, it seems like, where you know, like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are two of the like just nicest guys in baseball according to pretty much everyone you talk to, and then Ohtani, you know, we don't know that much about Ohtani's personal life as seen by, you know, the gambling stuff that has happened in the last few weeks to start the season. But again, by all accounts, he's a guy that mostly just wants to play baseball and is not really worried about almost anything else. And so I think I'm less worried about that than compared to a team like the Padres last year, who it did seem like they were always kind of at each other's throats a little bit, which, you know, when you're talking about Machado and Soto, those are guys who are a lot more animated. I don't want to say selfish, but just more, you know, maybe I will just say selfish. I don't know. They're more worried about their own personal image than maybe the team's success, right?
That's why I think Soto is the perfect fit now for the Yankees.
That's probably true. He's playing great. So
yeah, that's where he belongs.
Yeah.
I also am now concerned with like my Atlanta friends now that Strider is out.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious how that division's going to go, because that's another really tough division.
Oh, definitely.
And you can just sneak in there and take advantage now that they're down one of their best pitchers. Well, their best pitcher, one of their best players in general.
Yeah, one of the best pitchers in baseball, right? He was the favorite to win the NL Cy Young. Another guy who was just, oh, Spencer Strider's on the mound. I want to tune in, right? I was talking about this with some of my friends the other day of like, oh, you know, who's like appointment viewing for starting pitchers, right? There's certain guys that are like that. And it seems like this year a lot of those guys are hurt, Gerrit Cole, Spencer Strider, and everything. But for me, those guys have always been like, who can make a legitimate run at striking out 20 people in a game, right? Because that's something that with people so worried about pitch counts and everything, it's something that you don't really get close to. But Spencer Strider just strikes out enough people in 6-7 innings that he could feasibly do it, right? And so losing him, I think, it's bad for baseball because you don't get to see one of the best pitchers every 5 days. Gerrit Cole, he's not officially out for the season yet, but I think it's kind of inevitable at this point. Everybody who tries to put off the Tommy John surgery ends up getting it eventually. It's just now you're going to miss two seasons instead of one. And so those arm injuries are really tough, and all of them coming in quick succession. Shane Bieber was another one of those guys who was looking really good to start the season, and he went down. So, but yeah, the NL East over there, the Phillies, I think, are probably the favorite because they still have all those big bats, and Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola are a really, really good 1-2 on top of that rotation.
Yeah, they just destroyed the White Sox, shut them out.
I'm not sure if that's, indicative of anything, but they are very good.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
So I hate that. Yeah, anything else that you can think of before we wrap this up?
What else do I want to say? I want to say Cole Sands. He is the long reliever for the Twins. Okay. My hot, bold prediction for the Twins is that he is going to be in their top five in pitching war by the end of the year, just by default. He's going to stay healthy, and he's going to appear in a lot of games. So, also, he's been surprisingly very good. Also, I give it 3 weeks before the Twins bring up Simeon Woods Richardson as an everyday starter and send down Louis Bartland. And that's pretty much all of my Twins thoughts.
Okay, awesome. I love it. Light a candle, manifest.
I know. I'm praying to all of the baseball gods that just three people in the Twins lineup can somehow figure out how to hit, because it'll just do wonders for my mental health.
Yeah, I get that feeling. All right, well, thank you so much for coming back. Please, before we go, remind people where they can find you.
Yeah, twinkietown.com if you are into written words still, like the few people out there. But we really have a fun community over there. Our game coverage especially, I'm sure you guys are the same over at Southside Sox, but our game threads are always really fun if you just want to jump in and talk ball while we're watching some Twins games together. So pretty much our whole staff is in there, and then a lot of the just readers as well, so it's a lot of fun. And then you can hear our podcast at Twins Talk, wherever you get your podcasts. We have a weekly show just recapping the Twins week. So if you don't want to follow game in and game out, you can tune into our podcast and we'll go over every single game. We focus a little bit more on the pitching side, mostly because, frankly, that's where they've been good. But we break down every single game in a lot of detail, go through what we liked, what we didn't like, as far as individual pitches. My last Twins thought I will share is Louis Varland just needs to completely abandon the cutter. It's one of the worst pitches I've ever seen. So that there's a little sneak peek into that podcast as well.
All right. Well, thank you again, Ben. And, best of luck. Your team will probably sweep the White Sox, but I'll wish you good luck anyway.
I hope so. We really need it. Good luck to you guys as well.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.